The Tom Woods Show, episode 2203.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Folks, if you enjoy the Tom Woods Show, it's time to go to the next level. And next level, Tom Woods, is libertyclassroom.com. This is where my friends and I teach all the stuff you did not get in your conventional education, history, economics, and more, the way it ought to be taught, with all the content they left out or distorted. Check it out at libertyclassroom.com. Hey folks, Tom Woods here, delighted to be joined once again by our old friend Alan Mendenhall, who is Associate Dean of the Business School at Troy University and Executive Director of the Manuel H. Johnson Center for Political Economy. We're going to talk about woke corporations because, Alan, I saw you on Fox News talking about this. I knew already that Troy had some kind of initiative related to this topic, and I thought, well, for heaven's sake, if you're going on Fox News to talk about it, you got to also come on the Tom Woods Show. So welcome back.
Well, thank you. I really am glad to be here.
All right, let's dig into this a little bit here. This phenomenon of wokeism is really quite something in that it got going not all that long ago. I mean, this was not a thing when I was growing up in the 1980s, whereas now everybody feels the need to bend the knee to certain ideological preconceptions that collectively we think of as so-called wokeism. So accounting for this, where does it come from?
Well, I think ultimately the universities, that's where the ideologies begin. But there is a younger demographic out there that is, let's say, woker than the older generations. And I think a lot of companies realize that they need to start looking for consumers and employees who are of that generation. And so a part of this is appealing to that younger demographic. But there are many other reasons for this trend towards wokeism. And like you, I didn't notice this phenomenon until recently myself. And it was really Vivek Ramaswamy's book, Woke Inc., that alerted me to the many varieties of wokeism that are out there in corporate America.
Yeah, that's a helpful book. I had him on the show recently, and he's doing some really important work out there on this subject. I want, of course, we're going to talk about what Troy University is doing with regard to this, but I want to talk about why we're seeing this phenomenon, why CEOs feel the need to put out this kind of messaging. Now, there's a common slogan, go woke, go broke, you know, and the implication of that is the general public doesn't go for any of this stuff, so you're just going to be shooting yourself in the foot. But, you know, I'm not so sure. I'd love to think that's true. I would love to think that's true. I'm not entirely sure it is true. What do you think empirically?
Well, I mean, I think if it were just a matter of private companies going woke and testing out the market and then failing, that would be one thing. But this wokeness is bound up with government. If you think about it this way, if you think that half the country is woke and half the country isn't woke, and that may or may not be the case empirically, but let's just say hypothetically that that's the case, then by going woke, you are alienating half of the country and your firm, your company, would begin to fail in the marketplace if you only were appealing to half of those people, not all of whom presumably are consumers of your product. So in a competitive market, you would fail. So what you see is you see woke companies going out and advocating for government regulations, especially in environmental areas where they have self-imposed restrictions, and now they want to level the playing field and encourage government and lobby government to institute those restrictions so that everybody has to play by those rules because they can't compete when they've done it to themselves. And so now they want government to start doing it for them. And that actually is something that preceded this new woke revolution. DuPont used to lobby against environmental regulations in the 80s, but then it started lobbying for them because it realized that if everybody has to play by these rules, DuPont is already as a more powerful market than these other places, and that just solidifies that power.
So tell me exactly what Troy University is doing about this or wants to do about this. And in giving your answer, At the end, I'd like you to address something that I've heard said in criticism of what you're doing, which is, I thought you believed in the free market, and so therefore, wouldn't you allow businesses to organize themselves according to whatever principles they want? And so isn't it anti-free market for you to take the position you're taking?
So to the first part, we're just trying to teach students that profits are good and that businesses add value to society by producing goods and services, creating jobs, innovating, making our lives easier and better, the things that companies are supposed to do. There's this stigma that goes along with business after the Enron and WorldCom scandals, and people think of, you know, Wall Street as the Wolf of Wall Street. All businesses have been portrayed as evil and sinister and greedy, and some of that is deserved, but we're trying to teach sort of the positives of business and there's the 19th century sort of ethic of commerce. And all of that is antithetical to this wokeness. And to the people who say, oh, this wokeness is all about private businesses doing, you know, as long as government's not involved, no big deal. Well, I would encourage them to right away go Google investment firms, asset management companies, sort of the big three, the BlackRocks of the world, and look at what they are doing. They are investing, guess what? State pension money, state pension funds, and they are screening corporations based on ESG criteria. So ESG is environmental, social, and governance criteria. And that means that you have all these people who may be public school teachers or maybe just what they think of themselves as civil servants, and they've been working for the government for whatever reason. They may be conservative, they may be Christian, and their money is being invested by these asset management companies in political areas that these people disagree with. And most of them have no idea that this is happening. They have no idea that they're unwittingly supporting causes that they disagree with. And it's a tremendous problem. These asset management companies have a ton of power in no small measure because they are dealing with government funding. But if you want to talk about how wokeness is bound up with government, there are so many different areas you can point to. You can look at like how Wells Fargo suspended the bank account of a Republican candidate in Delaware for reasons that still remain hazy. So Wells Fargo is deliberately trying to control who's gaining an office there. You've got the DOJ targeting organizations here in Alabama like Eagle Forum and trying to subpoena their correspondents to find out if there's animus in this correspondence, whether Eagle Forum had lobbied the Alabama state legislature. You've got Aetna, Levi Strauss supporting gun control. Citibank restricted some credit card and banking services for gun manufacturers. You know, Visa, MasterCard, and American Express just this weekend announced that they're creating merchant category codes for gun shop sales that previously weren't there. Previously, they were under something called general merchandise. Ben & Jerry's is advocating hikes in the minimum wage. And then you've got a whole new cottage industry of diversity, equity, inclusion companies that are going in and advising government on how to be more inclusive, more belonging, more diverse. But what they end up advocating is the creation of new government offices and bigger bureaucracies and a growth in government. So it doesn't take a whole lot of digging to start finding how this wokeness works in favor of those who support bigger, stronger government.
Can you describe in some detail this program? So it's not just a course. Is it it's a program?
Yeah, it's a program. So we have students that have applied. As we stand here today, our first meeting is this evening, and it's just sort of the introductory orientation meeting. But it's a program, and the students apply, and it's competitive. And we had them write essays and submit their GPAs and transcripts and that sort of thing. And we will be reading books like Jim Otteson's Seven Deadly Economic Sins. We're going to read Woke Inc. I mentioned Ramaswamy earlier. We're going to read Woke Inc. And then we'll have people come in regularly. Well, it will be at least monthly, but we have so many people who have reached out after this Fox News appearance who want to Zoom in and talk about their experience. I have an executive from Disney who wants to talk about how he was canceled by Disney. And I've gotten contacted by so many CEOs that it looks as though we're going to have to do a lot more than just a monthly meeting. We'll have some people Zoom in and we'll order pizza into the room and have them up on the big screen, so to speak. And we'll have a little lecture and Q&A with the students, but also some other sort of extracurricular things we're doing is we'll do some field trips to businesses who represent sound and ethical business and talk to their CEOs and managers about what they do. And it will be over the course of an entire year. So we have reading groups and guest lectures, and then some of these Zoom guest lectures in addition to field trips.
So given that you've said that there are people who want to Zoom in, are you making this open to the general public? How does it work? Could somebody listening to this actually watch some of these?
You know, we've thought about it. We're not going to do that initially just because we're frankly worried about someone coming in and probably sabotaging it or, you know, some sort of...
I was going to caution you about that.
some kind of mole or infiltration or something. So right now we're just doing it for the students. And truly, we wanted a diverse array of students, people who disagreed with us to come in and challenge us. But really, for this first round, at least, everybody who applied is really into what we're doing and excited about it and wants to be equipped with stronger arguments for what they already believe. So that's great, too. I'm hoping that next year we can maybe diversify and have some naysayers and see if that would enrich our conversations.
You know, Milton Friedman is very well known for having said in a famous article that the purpose of corporations is to make profits.
Yeah.
That's why it's there. Now, whatever you want to do with those profits, go right ahead. You want to give to the Sierra Club or something? Go ahead. No one's stopping you.
Right.
But that's not the purpose of the corporation. And there are a lot of people who thought, oh, that's just so heartless and whatever. But now we're really seeing the value of that important insight by Milton Friedman, because now I want to talk for a minute about what wokeness does to a company's internal culture.
Yes.
Now, of course, if a lot of the employees agree with this stuff, then maybe it's a net plus for them. But there's always that sullen minority that feels put upon, that feels like, okay, now it's June, so you're all supposed to wear this pin.
Yeah.
And now it's this month, and you're all supposed to do this. And it's just assumed that there can't possibly be another way of looking at the world. It's just assumed. Well, of course, we're all going to do this because all right-thinking people think this way. In fact, they don't even think all right-thinking people think this way. The only people we would even consider interacting with think this way. So you have to skulk around hiding your opinions, and you don't even necessarily want to share your opinions at work, but now you really don't want to share them. And so it makes a big chunk of your workforce feel like outsiders, like aliens. But yet, apparently, whatever benefits they think they're getting from doing this must outweigh the negatives on the internal culture, or they wouldn't be doing it.
Yeah, well, there's this idea that it creates a surveillance environment of fear and intimidations, and it causes people to divide themselves into either victims or victimizers. And there are people, you know, if you're born of a particular race or gender or whatever, you are sort of disqualified from airing some opinions, whereas somebody that was born a different way from you can air those opinions or can air, you know, whatever. I mean, the problem with that is it has nothing to do with people's intentions and what they are trying to convey. It has everything to do with things they didn't choose, their race, their class, things that they were born into, things they didn't choose. And that's highly problematic. But with this shift on the governments from shareholder to stakeholder, the more nefarious look on this is that it lets companies get away with a lot of bad stuff. So you can get away with opposing unions or creating hazardous working conditions or producing pollutants or concealing sexual harassment claims. As long as you are messaging yourself as woke, then the media won't look into it and you won't get consumer scrutiny. Everyone just says, oh, they support this. They're a good company. The other thing is that CEOs get to redefine success. Like if a company is all about maximizing profits for shareholders, you sort of know what the standard is. Are you making more money than you used to or not? Like, are you generating profits or not? But if you are shifting to this stakeholder system where basically anybody in the world, the society writ large, the environment, these are all stakeholders, then you get to redefine success. You no longer have to show, oh, I'm maximizing profits. You can say, oh, we're donating to an LGBTQ cause. Oh, we're promoting diversity. We're helping the environment. So if the company is underperforming, the CEO can now claim a record of accomplishment grounded in the pursuit of progressive politics that purportedly helps society. Even if the business were to, say, start failing, then the CEO can say, well, we've got these social justice and social responsibility standards that we're meeting. So we may be losing profits, but because that's not the purpose of a corporation, we're still succeeding. Even if we're going out of business, we're still succeeding. And if the standard is maintaining or growing profits. That's much more difficult to meet. But I think the big nefarious thing that you see when you start looking at some of this governance shift is that it's really meant to hide controversies about executive compensation. Okay, well, we can pay the CEO, you know, millions and millions of dollars more than the low-level workers because this company is out there doing good stuff. It used to be you justify that by saying, look, they're killing it out there in the marketplace. They're generating revenue. They deserve to pay. Now you can say, well, you know, they're causing change. They're change agents out there in the world. So they deserve this high executive compensation. And for some reason, the left all of a sudden thinks, oh, well, that's good. That's okay. Now we're okay with it. We weren't okay with it when the corporation was providing jobs or helping bring people out of poverty are things that businesses would do if they operated as they're supposed to operate.
Hey folks, quick message from Moel Woods here. If you are looking to add Bitcoin to your retirement account and thinking about the long haul, then the best and easiest way to do that is with BitTrust IRA. BitTrust IRA helps you seamlessly and securely add cryptocurrency to your portfolio. It stores your private keys in nuclear bunkers with military-grade encryption. They have a 24/7 trading platform with no minimum investments and unlimited trades, plus a team to help guide you along the way if you have any questions. They also offer the lowest trading fees in the industry. I've often said that if Bitcoin is ever to gain more widespread acceptance, it's going to have to be more user-friendly, and BitTrust IRA could not be easier to use. So go to bittrustira.com/woods today to learn more. And for a limited time, BitTrust IRA is waiving the sign-up fee for Tom Woods Show listeners, a $50 value. That's bittrustira.com/woods, bittrustira.com/woods. What you said about we're going out of business, but we're succeeding because it's not our primary role to earn profits. That really sums up the clown world we inhabit right now. That that belongs, there really needs to be a book or even just a PDF list of all the crazy nonsense that we are expected to believe and repeat that nobody actually believes. I mean, really, there's no businessman who in his heart thinks,
no.
As long as I'm promoting these particular... And that leads into a question that I was going to ask you that I think you may have partly answered, which was, what does your gut tell you about whether the people in the corporate world pushing this are true believers or whether they're manipulating this movement cynically because they think it will in fact benefit their bottom line?
Well, it's interesting. There is a person of the left who wrote a book called Woke Capitalism. The guy's name is Carl Rhodes. And this person is on the left, and his whole book is about how this is just disingenuous. These corporate executives are just saying whatever they have to say to enrich themselves, to protect themselves from media scrutiny. They don't give a rip about the environment. I mean, these CEOs aren't, you know, the world's philosophers, and they're just going to say and do whatever they can do to try to get as much cover, to try to get as much popularity as possible. The position of CEO now is one where people don't serve very long. You know, if you serve 5 years as a CEO, that's a long time these days. So these people get in and they want to get popular, they want to get cool, they want the media to love them. And then as the company starts downward spiraling, then they can leave and they just move on to the next thing before the company starts crashing, because they don't have to be invested in it for a decade or two decades. So there are certainly sinister reasons for why these executives may be going this way. And the other thing, though, that may be the sort of less cynical view is that the CEOs have begun to delegate so much responsibility to middle managers, and they want to absolve themselves from responsibility. So if some expert comes in and says, we're diversity experts and we need to go in and assess your company, and the CEO just says, well, I'm no expert in this. I'm just going to delegate and let this, you know, middle manager deal with that. If the experts say we need to diversify and add new offices and do this and that, then that's what we'll do because I'm no expert. But, you know, the CEO may personally object to all those moves, but he or she is going to do whatever just to go along to get along.
It may be a combination of both. I used to think it was pure cynicism and pure manipulation. And then I've just had too many people who work in the corporate world say to me, oh no, these people, they sure act like true believers. You should interact with these people. It's impossible. Yeah. They really, really do believe it.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of that going on. But, you know, I also think this is sort of a Western world phenomenon. This is what's coming out of principally Europe and the United States. And the world is growing in other places. And it's not that way in some of these other places that don't have these values. And I think we're seeing backlash. I think we're seeing right-wing populism throughout the world. I think the world is moving in a different direction from these corporations. And so if they continue to alienate consumers, not just in the Western world, but everywhere else, they're going to ultimately pay a cost for it.
Well, there are companies that if they're content with catering to just a segment of the market, can, I think, distinguish themselves by, frankly, making fun of their woke counterparts. I mean, we saw what happened with Harry's razors and Jeremy's razors over at the Daily Wire. They were laughing their you-know-what's off at Harry's razors. And they even, right across the street from Harry's headquarters, they put up billboards saying, IHateHarrys.com. And basically, they said, look, our razors are about giving you a good shave. It's not our job to tell you how to live your life or what you're supposed to think about X or Y. We're just here to help you get a good shape. Remember that? Remember those days when that was our entire job? And that got, as you know, that got a tremendous response. Huge, huge outpouring of support. So yeah, they're not going to be able to sell to a lot of people who watch MSNBC, but they went into it knowing that. But they will sell a whole bunch to that completely forgotten demographic in America. So it seems to me that could be a winning model.
Oh, I agree. I remember growing up, there was no Fox News, let alone a Newsmax or whatever. You didn't have Fox. And then Fox News came in and filled a vacuum and boom, now it's, you know, the dominant news provider out there. But one encouraging thing, Tom, is, you know, I am a lawyer with a PhD in English. I am not a corporate executive. This is not my world, but I've sort of by necessity had to learn it. But I am now hearing, after this Fox News appearance and a lot of other media appearances that keep coming up, I'm now hearing from all these corporate executives around the world who are saying, thank you. I can't believe you're doing what you're doing. And they're proposing these different ideas they have that they haven't told everyone else about yet. And I'm getting this sort of privileged access to all this really interesting stuff that's going on without revealing names. I'll just share like one idea that I've heard is this group that is founding a company to rate other companies based on their political and social leanings, but from the other perspective. So they want to score funds based on categories, like whether they give to Planned Parenthood, then they're going to get a low ranking, or whether they give to whatever, they're going to get a low ranking. And they're creating their own exchange traded funds for that are conservative. They're fundamentally conservative. So if people don't want to put their money into a mutual fund that's subsidizing all this left-wing stuff, well, here's an alternative. And this kind of stuff, I think, is what we're going to end up seeing. And I think that those things will take off.
Yeah. I think, again, I can't prove this, but your anecdotal evidence certainly suggests it, that there are more people out there than we realize who are ready to rally to somebody who says, this is ridiculous, and I'm going to try going down a new path. And all those people know that that person, whoever it is, will be demonized and called all the usual names. But nobody who will find that message receptive cares about those names anymore. We all know that that's just a way to try to destroy people who disagree with you. So I think there is you look at, again, what the Daily Wire has done. A Daily Wire is, you know, I agree with them a lot of the time. They're not entirely my cup of tea, but I like some of the things they do. And they've branched into entertainment because they realize that entertainment has gone woke. And they've taken people who have been quote-unquote canceled and cast them in things that they're doing. And that gives other people ideas to start their own projects.
We just
need somebody to take those initial steps and people will follow.
I totally agree. There's an article by Barry Weiss in Commentary Magazine, and it's called, "We Got Here Because of Cowardice, We Get Out with Courage." And I wish I could just sit here and the whole podcast would be reading this article, but I do want to just like read this ending, because Barry Weiss says, in an age of lies, telling the truth is high risk. It comes with a cost, but it is our moral obligation. It is our duty to resist the crowd in this age of mob thinking. It is our duty to think freely in an age of conformity. It is our duty to speak truth in an age of lies. This bravery isn't the last or only step in opposing this woke revolution. It's just the first. After that must come honest assessments of why America was vulnerable to start with and an aggressive commitment to rebuilding the economy and society in ways that once again offer life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to the greatest number of Americans. But let's start with a little courage. Then just the last little paragraph. Courage means, first off, the unqualified rejection of lies. Do not speak untruths, either about yourself or anyone else, no matter the comfort offered by the mob. And do not genially accept the lies told to you. If possible, be vocal in rejecting claims you know to be false. Courage can be contagious, and your example may serve as a means of transmission. I love it.
Yeah, that's very, very well said. Well, we'll leave it there. If there's any link you want me to put on the show notes page so people can find out about this program, or indeed just more about Alan Mendenhall, let me know. Or if there's a website you want to give out now, I'd be glad to hear it.
Well, my website is just my name, Alan Mendenhall, AlanMendenhall.com. The Manuel H. Johnson website is within the Sorrell College of Business's website at Troy University. And we have not featured this program up on the website at the moment. We're still keeping this somewhat internal, but I suspect after our first year of operation, we'll start putting pictures up there and sharing some of our activities.
Okay, very good. Well, we've had you on to talk about a variety of topics before, so I will encourage people to check you out. Go to alanmendenhall.com. And I appreciate your coming on and talking about what you guys are doing at Troy University. Just great to hear.
Well, thank you, Tom. It's fun to be a part of, and I always appreciate coming on your show.
All right, folks, that is another episode of The Tom Woods Show. I will see you tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of The Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at Podsworth.com.